In China, government officials are signaling the country may start moving away from its strict zero COVID policy. Earlier this week, China's most senior COVID response official said the country is entering a, quote, new stage and mission when it comes to pandemic controls, though she didn't give specifics. And this comes as the biggest protests since the 1989 pro-democracy Tiananmen Square uprisings have just roiled the country in the last few weeks. Nearly 3 years into the pandemic, China still locks down parts of major cities and forces people into quarantine centers when they get sick. From a disease control perspective, that's worked. Compared to the United States, where more than a million people have died, China has seen only around 5,000 deaths. But if China does move away from zero COVID, what could that look like in a country of more than a billion people? For more on that, we have now Dr. Peter Chin Hong, infectious disease specialist at UCSF. Welcome back to Press Play.
Thanks for having me on, Madeline.
Well, so you have this problem. On the one hand, these policies have really helped China avoid a catastrophe, the kind that we've seen here in the U.S. On the other hand, though, as many health officials say, this disease is likely here to stay. And now you have this country, which is the most populous in the world, without much natural immunity. So from a healthcare perspective, what do you make of this zero COVID policy?
Well, right now, Madeline, I think I am, and a lot of my fellow colleagues are increasingly more worried for China as able to really continue to contain this virus. Times have changed. I think in the beginning, it was easy to rely on one strategy, which they've continued to rely on mainly, which is contact tracing and a little bit of vaccines, although people would say that many of the resources have been misallocated and really singularly focused on one strategy. And as we know with COVID, and certainly in these different times with Omicron, you require multiple strategies. You can't put all of your strategies in one basket, which is why I think I'm worried that this is kind of like a dry forest, and you're just waiting to light that match of Omicron. And not enough beds or vaccines in the elderly.
Yeah. Well, I have seen one estimate that says if zero COVID is lifted, up to 280 million people could get infected and up to 2 million or more people could die.
Yes. And it's not just a matter of not having had enough vaccines. It's the kind of vaccines that they've had, which are probably arguably not as effective, which are Sinopharm or Sinovac versus the mRNA vaccines we've had in the US and many parts of the world. It's the fact that the most vulnerable individuals, the seniors, are not vaccinated, not only because there was any lack of trying, but because there's also been misinformation there. And we've seen that happen in Hong Kong, which in many senses was a dress rehearsal for what might happen in China. And finally, they just don't have enough beds. If you think about ICU beds in China, it's about 3.5 per 100,000 people. In the U.S., other countries, we're above 10 per 100,000 people.
Wow. So I guess to prepare for this, if they do decide to lift or ease some of these restrictions, they would need to vaccinate primarily, or at least at first, their seniors and do that.
Yes.
How big a lift is that?
That is a huge lift. And again, you're not only talking about the vast numbers. You're talking about the kind of vaccine you're using. And you're talking about, just like we are in the United States and other parts of the world, combating misinformation. There's been a lot of negative, frankly, disinformation about what vaccines are and what they aren't, even in places like China. And certainly that was the reason why there were so many deaths in Hong Kong in January of 2022 when Omicron came through Hong Kong.
Mm. So they don't allow the Moderna or Pfizer vaccines into the country?
No, they haven't. They've relied mainly on local vaccines, which have been used in many parts of the world as well. But what China doesn't have, as you pointed out, is waves of natural infection as well to bolster whatever vaccines are being used in the background.
What about antivirals like Paxlovid? Do they have those?
They have access to antivirals, but again, not probably to be implemented on a wide enough scale easily as we've seen it here. And again, antivirals are only as good as, I guess they have prioritized diagnosis. So you have to have that diagnosis before giving the antiviral. And again, it probably wouldn't be enough to contain this combustion that might happen.
I understand they have a nasal vaccine that's in a late stage trial there that could be something that could stop the spread of the virus. What do you know about that?
Well, the nasal vaccine will probably be only, it's kind of like a Jamba Boost for the Jamba smoothie. It's probably not going to give you the biggest bang for the buck. And again, if you're not going to even take the regular vaccine in the senior population, I think they'd have to really go against, again, misinformation with trying to implement a new strategy like a nasal vaccine. And again, what we're talking about is something that needs to be implemented right now. And I think there's still too much time that would be taken to build this up to full capacity to really implement it.
So I understand you are talking to some doctors in the country. What are they telling you?
I think what's more important to me is what they're not telling me. I think there's probably been people have been a little bit more hesitant in really saying how things were on the ground. In the beginning of the pandemic, we were in really constant communication, and it's fallen off a little bit. You know, of course, I would say speaking for Hong Kong, where there's a lot of interaction with Hong Kong scientists and U.S. scientists, particularly around SARS and now SARS-CoV-2, they're kind of worried. Certainly, when the big large number of deaths in seniors occurred in Hong Kong in January, people were really beside themselves, and I think fearing for the worst.
Mm. Do you anticipate that Chinese authorities, given what's happening politically, might just accept a large proportion of senior deaths?
I think they wouldn't want to do that. I mean, one part of Chinese culture, again, is saving face. And if you look at the strategies of the Chinese government, not only in China, but in other countries that are imbued with this culture, the last thing you want to do is save face. So you're going to hold on to this control as much as possible, even from a disease perspective. But I think, you know, Jiang Zemin, who was the president of China a few years ago and who died in the last day or so, people are worried that that's going to, again, combust a whole round of protests because, again, he stood for opening up China at the time. And this is like the opposite of opening up China.
Well, thank you very much for joining us again.
Thanks so much, Madeline.
That's Dr. Peter Chin Hong, infectious disease specialist at UC San Francisco. Coming up, that weird media tour of disgraced FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried and what his company's bankruptcy says about the future of crypto. That's next on Press Play.